Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were heartbroken. They were sad. Their hopes for the future were dashed. What they had hoped, what they had believed in with their whole heart, seemed over. It seemed like it was just an illusion. It was gone. And they were met by a stranger. They start talking. He talked about Moses and the Torah and what Scripture taught. He reminded them of God. Shema Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. The Lord, the God, is one. And he talked about Moses and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Amos and Hosea and all the prophets, how they pointed to this. And they listened. It was like, nobody's taught us like this before. But they didn't recognize him. So he sat with them, and he took the bread, blessed it, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened. This is Jesus, the Christ. He's alive. And then he disappeared. And they couldn't wait to go and with the other disciples hiding behind closed doors to tell them, he is risen. We know. Jesus was risen from the dead. On the road to Emmaus, it happened. And the road to Emmaus is a story about how the impossible and wonderful joy of Easter happened. This dead rabbi was alive. The future was new. They walked with him. They ate with him. And Jesus was with them in their everyday lives. Every step they took, Jesus was with them. But they saw him and knew him in the breaking of the bread. And this Emmaus story happens over and over and over in our lives too. Snow, Colorado, with family members that were saved from a mad gunman. In the beauty of spring, robins, seeing old friends back, seeing wonderful families united around a 40th wedding anniversary. Emmaus happens again and again. Every time you and I or any follower of Jesus experiences Jesus as a living reality, as love, as life that is so wonderful that you can't contain it and you have to know it and share it. After his crucifixion and death and resurrection, Jesus is alive. Whether you're reading the Bible or praying in church or holding your beloved's hand or walking in the woods and seeing the blossoms coming out and you feel the love of God, Jesus is there. Whether it's the two on the road to Emmaus or the 11 disciples hiding behind closed doors because they're scared to death, or St. Paul on the road to Damascus and suddenly he sees the risen Christ, and so do we. So do we. You know, I've had more than one Emmaus experience, and I hope you have too. Not just to know about Jesus, but to receive and know Jesus in your life, that he's alive. You know, one powerful Emmaus experience I remember, I was friends with Kat Munz, who's the priest at St. Brendan's off Rochester Road years ago. And she and the church were, this was like a few months after 9/11. And they were going to minister there, and she said, Fred, do you want to go along? And I said, oh, well, you know, it was like 2 weeks before Holy Week. So I said, well, yeah, that's nice, but I don't know. And so I don't know if I really have time for this trip at this point, but thank you for asking me. So I shared it with Joan, and I said, my wife, and I said, they asked me, but you know, it's in 2 weeks, it's Holy Week. This is Lent. I'm teaching a course. She said, Fred, did you pray about it? I said, no. She said, Fred, you should practice what you preach. So I prayed about it, and God said, go. So I said, well, okay, maybe it was my imagination. Maybe I have indigestion here. So I went to the church council at the church I was at the time. They said, go. So I said, okay. If I was Jewish, I'd say, oy vey, okay. Well, then I guess I'm going, okay. So I met with the people at St. Brendan's. It was on a Tuesday morning. And there was of the Episcopalians, there were 14 of them, and I was the token Lutheran. And we drove up to New York, and we stayed at the General Clement Clark Moore Seminary, just a few miles from Ground Zero. And I don't know, do you remember the name Clement Clark Moore? He wrote The Night Before Christmas. Yeah, so... we stayed there, and we worked in shifts. Some had 8 in the morning to 8 in the evening, and some had 8 in the evening until 8 in the morning. I had the morning shift, and we went there, and we walked in, and the chapel was St. Paul's. This was the chapel that George Washington prayed at when he was president. Remember, the Capitol first was in New York before it was in Washington, D.C. So there was George Washington's pew there, and it had little engraving that he prayed here. And outside the church, there was a wrought iron fence, and on this fence there was all kind of pictures of people that had lost loved ones, and their pictures were there, and little letters, have you seen so-and-so? And it was very sad. He walked into the church, and it was a little bigger than this, and there's balconies around, and the pews, they had letters taped to them from people, from and children and adults from Japan and Germany and from China and Russia and from Ecuador and Canada. And there was homemade Afghans and things on the pews for the work, the emergency workers, the policemen, the people working. It was a rainy day. There was a baby grand piano in the corner of the church, and this Broadway musician was playing show tunes for people. There was a table which had hard hats there, and it had socks and gloves because it was cold and rainy in New York at that time for the policemen and the emergency workers. And it was just there were flags all over the place and poems written about people that had died, and it was very holy and sacred place. And we, as chaplains there, we help give coffee and hot chocolate to the policemen. Also, we'd have donuts for the policemen too. Get out there, because it was cold. And yeah, and these people were working like 8-hour shifts, 12-hour shifts, and they were tired and exhausted. Some just emotionally drained. And prayed with them, read scripture with them, just listened to their stories, and just sat there and listened. There was all kind of people here that we tried to keep out, because this was just for the people that were working at Ground Zero. So tourists would come and say, we love you, we want to, but no, this is just for the tourists, for the people that were working there. And we ministered to the people. It was very, very emotional, very, very, very difficult. And the wind was blowing outside, it was cold, and I took a little break, and I went outside and looked where Ground Zero was, and there was gates around it, and you could look, but 16 acres of twisted metal, and it was just, it just was, my God, it was just, it went one of those feelings. It was hard to describe the feelings. There was sadness and anger and shock, and a policeman who was standing there in the cold, you know, he asked me if I was all right. I should have asked him if he was all right. He was out there ministering to people and trying to keep people safe. Yet that type of love and that kind of care, you could feel it in the air. People supporting one another, loving one another in this horrible, horrible scene. One Roman Catholic priest came down from Connecticut every Thursday, ever since it happened at 9/11, and he would pray with the people and work with the people and work with the people at the site, in the 16 acres there, and when they would find like a body part, like an arm or a finger or a toe, They would take that and do DNA testing and try to discover who that person was. And they would take that body part, and there was a policeman, an FBI agent, a CIA agent, representative from the New York City morgue, and a clergy person present to pray and to commend that person to God. But also, they had to be there because Ground Zero was a federal offense. So they had to be there to take care of the records of the poor victims. And of all that I saw, heard, and felt, the most lasting impression was love and compassion. You could feel it. People cared for one another. They cared for the families that lost loved ones. They cared for the people that were working there so selflessly and tirelessly. And you could tell Jesus was there, no doubt about it. Emmaus happened again because Jesus was there in the sharing of stories, sharing of food, drinking hot chocolate or coffee, serving one another, praying, worshiping, laughing, crying, exhaustion, dedication. In the rain, Jesus was there. Once again, I was reminded that Easter is not just a nice celebration where you have chocolate bunnies and the rest. It's not some memory of something past. Jesus, Easter happens again and again and again in many ways. In a chapel at Ground Zero, in a vision of a living Lord, in prayer, in worship, in Holy Communion. In other people, in the daily routine of our lives, washing dishes, mowing the lawn, trimming the hedges, talking to neighbors, Jesus is walking with us in Holy Scripture. And Emmaus happens again. Where you are right now, the risen Lord is here. The risen Lord is with you. Christ is here. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, the risen Christ is in you. Take time to listen to your heart. Take time to breathe. Take time to be still and know God. And you'll know Christ is with you and in you. Christ is with you no matter what happens. He is with you always, even to the end of the age and beyond. And Emmaus happens again. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.